looking out at the devastation. I'm still here.
Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. And today, bringing in Pat on the discussion. Patrick, you there, brother?
Oh, I'm here. Good morning, everybody. Well, good afternoon or good night, wherever you're at in the world. Greetings, brothers. Greetings, sisters.
How you doing out there, Pat?
You know, things are going okay. You know, I mean, going to go to a bit of a slow period, and you know, earlier I was a victim of fire. So just the fires in northern Alberta and Canada. So you know, that's the way I work. And you know, there was major forest fire and wildfires. So that was definitely an experience that I went through and. And so when things can go a bit sideways, people react and act, and what they do, decisions people make, and it's not always driven for something good for them. It's always for them, but it may not be good for the other people around them. So yeah.
So you just came through the fires in Fort McMurray, and. And same time that those were going on, and a little bit after the floods that were happening in Sri Lanka. Right now, I'm over in Austin, Texas, for some people that are kind of wondering. But just keeping up with people in different spots. And I think it's interesting, Pat. So in your experience with those with the fires that they had over in Fort McMurray, you know, how did people react, man, when everything kind of happened there?
You know, it was kind of one of those things that people were like. Once people start getting, when the fires got, because the fire started actually on Sunday. I think it was the 31st of April, and you know, and the fire was. I'm not sure how far from Fort McMurray, but it was south of Fort McMurray. But you could see them, right? And some of the street were towards the highway was starting to get blocked out by the police and emergency services, and you know, and I just kind of drove by, and we could see a large glob of smoke, right? So it was pretty much that it was going, and then you know, like that was Sunday, so by Tuesday afternoon, people at work started like just leaving work. Like I was actually wondering what's going on, because the fire had. The wind had changed, and so the fire actually jumped towards within the city of Fort McMurray. So people were trying to go home to save their house, right? So and it's kind of surreal because people like just left work, they drove towards the house, and a lot of people were trying to put like sprinklers, like water sprinklers on like top of you know like or like water hoses like on top of their roof. So, you know, all the little particles, like, the, you know, that will fly, like, off the air that could drop, so that could fall, like, on your house.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be burning your house. So people, like, they want to go grab the family member, the loved ones, things that they needed. They want to go grab clothes, whatever, you know. So, yeah, and then, you know, obviously work got shut down, so I went back to where you know I was staying, and people like were because it's a camp situation, right? So there's multiple people staying there, and people said, you know, family from the city, from Fort McMurray, are coming towards the camp because the camp is located more north of where the fire was, right? So and people started gathering around like bank machines to pull out money. People start going in to grab food into the cafeteria because they didn't know how many people were coming to the camp and they didn't need enough food. And I just kind of, for me, I was fairly calm. I just sort of, you know, grabbed my lunch like I always do and went back to my room because I didn't want to be around people, you know, too many people because they were getting agitated, right?
Yeah.
And, But I got a phone call from like work. They're like, okay, you guys gotta go home. It's like, no, I don't want to go home because there's fire.
Yeah.
I gotta stay here. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be making any sort of move. Is the you know, the fire somewhere? So like, you don't want to do that. So I think first of all, I'm not gonna fuel in my truck, so I need to get a place where I can fuel, and there was nowhere available at that moment. Whenever I decided to leave, I knew a place where they had fuel, so when I got speed up and then drove to the city, and it was like a maze, right? And it was like, it was smoke, trees were burning, houses were burning, businesses were burning, gas stations were burning, restaurants were burning, and there was no firefighter around because of so many fires, right? So they just were taking care of the most important, the hospitals and other places like that, right?
They
don't burn. So, and then just when I got out of the city, within a mile or two or a couple of kilometers, there was a lineup of cars, vehicles. Some people had ran out of gas. People, I think, they were just stopping there for the night. People didn't know where they could go. And that's about 90,000 people that got evacuated, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the emergency services did an amazing job, just amazing job, you know, guiding people where they be safe place. I got to say for sure that, you know, part of the reason why those people were nothing much happened. I think only two people died, but it wasn't because of the fire. It was because of
the road.
Vehicle accident.
Yeah, vehicle access.
Right. So, and that's pretty much it. But the reason people did so well is because anybody up there worked in a plant or worked in the oil and gas business or in construction business. So they're used to to go through emergency drills all the time.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they did really well, because they're used to doing that every single year. We talk about safety and what to do and emergency response plan, right?
Yeah.
But the same thing, I think if the same thing would happen in a major city, most people, it would have been mayhem. It was already sort of, it was already crazy, but, you know, in a city of a million people.
Yeah.
Like 9,000 people to move people out of there is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But there was all the way from Fort McMurray to about Edmonton, there was a lineup of cars, 9,000 people, and we were just moving towards Edmonton, and was Calgary, right? And, you know, Edmonton from Fort McMurray is about 450 kilometers.
Yeah.
So, and between Edmonton and Fort McMurray, there's probably four or five different places we can stop for fuel or restaurant, and all these places that have fuel, they all ran out of fuel within an hour or two of the people, evacuating. So you have a lot of people on the road that had to leave their cars.
Yeah. Well, Pat, so looking back in retrospect, in hindsight, at the situation that happened in Fort McMurray, if you knew that was going to happen there, what would you have done differently to prepare for that situation if you had a little bit of advance notice? What would you have done a little differently?
You know what? If I had noticed, probably the thing I would have done is probably not even going there. Like, I would have just called work, be like, hey, I guess I'm sick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like the best thing is to not be there. But if you were in the middle of that situation, and if you had to be prepared,
the middle of that situation, I think the biggest thing is, to remain calm.
Yeah.
First of all, and start thinking straight. Just think, okay, this is what's going on. I need to leave. Why do I need to leave to fucking make it home safe, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that if you could use your vehicle, like, one thing I would have made sure that when I got into Fort McMurray on Sunday, I would have had a full tank of gas.
Right? Yeah.
And also for me, I didn't have food, but, the basic of water and snacks that you can actually have for that moment. Mm-hmm. I don't think cash would help at all.
No.
Although I had some money, I mean, but it doesn't help. It's just the thing that is needed. Like, you know, I saw people that they took the RVs and the trailers and the fifth wheel. I think that was very smart because, you know, at least they can take a place that they know of and they, like a home for them and bring it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you know, when the situation happened, you can just, you know, seek out the Lord and reach out to him and ask him, what should I do? You know, this is a simple question. Sometimes people, like, it's just people sometimes, even though they may not be a believer or they may be, I don't know, like I call it, they may not be a practicing believer. They're kind of, you know, they're going to rely on people first before they can rely on God.
Yeah.
I think it's relying on them first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because any place to go right, but you think, I should go left, right?
Yeah.
So it's all these things. I think that's probably what I would have done. For sure, I think a full tank of gas, that would have been something, you know, so I can go like at least 500-600 kilometers away from the situation. I think also avoiding places where there's huge mob of people, because I think groups are forming.
Yeah.
Within that, you know, after a while. You know, and keep on sort of moving, right? Like, don't depend on perhaps people, you know, other services, like, at that moment.
Yeah.
Remain calm, and, you know, don't try to be too much, and just try to get yourself
at
a safe location.
Yeah, you know, Pat, you raise some really, really good points. You know, when you're reflecting on this whole situation, and a few of them are worth kind of just highlighting to people. Because see, right now, you know, the time that we're living in, there's a lot of people that prey on other people's fears. You know, about like the unknown or emergencies or whatever could happen. But, I mean, you approached that whole situation awesome, man. I mean, we were staying in touch during the middle of all that, too, and that was really good. But it's just like, you know, a couple things. One is making sure that people stop and are thinking with a clear head, you know, having common sense, you know, in those situations. Because when people start getting afraid and they start acting out of fear, and like you said, you know, nobody died because of the fires, but two people died on because of motor vehicle accidents on the road relating to the fires. And that would have been because, you know, people would have just been in a panic and, you know, and hurt each other in that situation. And I mean, there's a lot of emergency situations where what ends up happening to people is people get hurt because of the response and the panic, and not even because of the actual emergency. So that's one thing that was really, really good that you know, you did, and you kept your calm. And I mean, you weren't directly in harm's way in where you were staying, so you knew you had some time. The other thing too is like the basic preparations that everybody can make on a regular basis. And that doesn't mean, you know, like stockpiling for 2 years of food and water, because that's not what's necessary. It's just basically saying, okay, you know, how do you, you know, what are some possible scenarios of things that could happen, and how do you make it through, you know, a few days or a week, or I think even 2 weeks maximum. But just in that situation, you know, what would, because if something comes up in the world, if things are not resolved and somewhat back to normal after 2 weeks, you probably should be carrying on and going somewhere else, you know, because at that stage you're looking at a whole different scenario in a particular place. And so, you know, sometimes when people talk about, you know, like having gold or silver or all these other things that people use to, like, you know, scare tactics, or I mean, like, you know, for yourself in that situation that, you know, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness saves from death. I mean, that's what the scriptures say. It's like you can tell how in a lot of situations that would happen, there's a lot of things where, I mean, at that time, the value of a tank of gas would have been worth a whole lot more than what the price of the pump was, because there was a scarcity of it. And a lot of people were trying to save themselves, you know, and trying to get out of harm's way. But in the process of them not thinking clearly, You know, and most people were thinking better there, like you said, because they're used to doing the drills and running things in the camps, and they're used to coming in and going out. So they're used to being transitory. But yeah, you're right, man. Like a city where people are not used to certain situations and people are more panicked, less able-bodied, because I'm sure most people in the camps are able-bodied people because they've got to be out there and they got to be traveling for work. So, I mean, you're talking about a different scenario with some of the cities, but the main thing I think is just for people to also just to understand that some basic preparations can go a long way in helping you to think clear, and those are the kind of things that people can do. Just to be aware, just to be prepared, and then after that, just keep going with whatever your life needs to be at the time, and don't let that take up too much of your mind and your thinking, because we're supposed to keep our eyes on Christ, and a lot of people are going to be panicked and worried about things coming in the world right now, but that in and of itself can be a snare for your thinking. The best thing to do is just make a few adjustments and then do them and then carry on and keep your focus on Christ.
Exactly. You know, I think people sometimes they make this elaborate plan and we maybe get stuck up for years, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you're right, after a couple of weeks, you're probably going to have to move around. You're going to have to be more mobile, but for 2 weeks, you're going to be home. Like, some people still have the basic needs, like the water, the, you know, some canned goods, the dry food that they can, you know, like a hot plate, maybe a small gen set. These are like little things that you can actually have at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in your garage. And, you know, like, I mean, push come to shelf. I mean, some people, they can only afford to buy oatmeal and water and maybe, like, they have a hot plate or something, like, whatever it is. Or, you know, even having a barbecue, like, you know, I mean, a couple extra tank of propane, and then you can make your food on that. And then, you know, you can prep yourself for all these different scenarios, but we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Little that we know, people that prep themselves for something that could happen in Fort Mac, then they have found the wall. They can't take it. Okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would definitely suggest to always have, like, you know, a bag to be ready, I guess, like to go bag or grab and go bag with water and some snackiness, some clothing. You know, it all depends where you live, what part of the world you live in. It may be cold, it may be hot, but prepare for both and kind of go from there, right? And a lot of people probably have families, they have kids, they have, you know, people that take care of parents or uncles, right? So you just got to make sure that you have a way that, one, you can take care of them while those things happen, but two, also, if you have extended family that you need to get in contact, you know, maybe there's something that you guys set up prior to, be like, okay, if something were to happen and you don't hear from me for 2 days, we're going to go there, right? So, because communication can be down, you know, and so then there's no communication. Well, what do people do? Like, they start guessing, right? So,
yeah.
I think just figuring out, like, if something happens, like, okay, where do we go? We go to Uncle John or Auntie Mary, or we stay here for the next 3 days because we're getting enough stuff, right? So, and then, you know, and then you try to make it home wherever it is, right? To that car house, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of contingency plans, but you know what? I think the biggest thing is to really, you know, like you touched on that, people are going to try to sell you this and that. People are going to try to tell you, okay, what's going to happen in the end day? This is going to happen now. And like, but what? They don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Pat? I was cracking up, man. I was cracking up with some of those videos that you sent me recently, man, of like all these snake oil salesmen running around, getting people all worked up about end of days and do this and do that. These guys, man, wouldn't last a day in any of the scenarios that they're talking about. And yet they're selling everybody all this stuff. It's craziness, man.
Well, exactly. And even when you look at Jesus when he was, you know, when he got put to the cross, right? Like, yeah, that time was a turmoil for all the disciples and his followers. But you know what? They all went in hiding, and then Jesus just showed up. Jesus showed up to them whenever they were ready, right? Like, he showed up multiple times, thousands of times to different people that he knew or he didn't know, right?
So, yeah.
Like I say, like, I think there's a lot of things going on, like, around the world. We have to be conscious about that. There is things that are happening all over the place, not just in Fort McMurray, not just in, you know, in the U.S., or, you know, in South America, things happening, in Sri Lanka. You know, there's things happening all over the world. People die, like, within last week in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
This entire town or village got slaughtered by people from a different country. They came in and started shooting at them.
Yeah.
Like, things are happening all over. Like, I know there was the bombing in France and everything else and in Belgium, but we can't forget about brothers and sisters in Ivory Coast that got killed. Like, I think it was 150 people that got killed on the beach by a terrorist group.
Right? Yeah.
So, that, you know, but that didn't got, people didn't know much about that.
Yeah.
Unless you were on Facebook and somebody shared it with you, right? Or you follow on Facebook, you know? So, all these things are happening all over the world. And things are going to keep on happening, right?
Yeah.
And I know in the scripture it does talk about that. In the end time, there will be, you know, it's going to be like a pregnant woman with contraction. They come all the time. Things are happening all the time, and we're seeing that. You know, like we're definitely seeing that. Like, so it's. I think mostly for us, it's to go to Him and, you know, asking Him to forgive us. Hmm. Accepting Him in our life and just doing what He's calling us to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's all we can do.
Yeah. You know, absolutely, bro.
You can't be afraid to die.
No.
You can't be afraid to die.
No.
Because, you know, like, although it's easy to say, but when you're in a situation, it is a difficult moment. It is tough, but, you know, like, you can't be afraid of that because, you know, we know where are we going. We know where we're going. That's the thing, you know, like.
You know, Pat, it's a
change the bodies and do different things to live longer.
Yeah, like, I was going to talk about that transhumanism thing too, man, that we've been going back and forth a little bit on as well. And you know, a big part of the reason why these guys are trying to alter the DNA and trying to alter their bodies and trying to, you know, mess with the genetic code is because they're afraid to die. They're afraid to stand face to face with God. They're afraid to come into that eternal light, to have to deal with the eternal ramifications of their choice to go with the world and the world system. So they're trying to do everything that they can to delay that, even though the scriptures tell us very clearly that appointed unto every man is a time to die, and after that the judgment. So there is that you know, appointment that every person has, and the fact that these guys are trying so desperately hard just to mess with that, they're doing it to their own eternal damnation, because in messing with that, they're sealing their fate and their eternal separation from God. The other part of it too, Pat, is that if you look at the kind of things that they're coming up with, kind of ideas that they're coming up with in this transhumanism thing, they don't realize this has already happened before. They've already done this kind of stuff. They've already messed with the genome like this before in the past. If you just look at the pictures in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and the kind of things that they were coming up with back then, and the kind of, and then you see some of the concepts that they're having right now of what it can be to splice human with animal and the rest of it, you start to realize, wait a second, where have you seen these pictures before? Where have you seen these images before? Where have you seen these ideas and these concepts before? This is nothing new. This is actually man repeating, because there's, just like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. This is man
repeating. Nothing new under the sun. People can remember that because, you're right, it did happen before. And obviously it didn't work. And all these civilizations, they got shut down and disappeared. And then we just doing, not doing, we actually we are repeating the same mistakes that these civilizations have done.
Well, it's a caution to the brothers and sisters out there that are also seeing this stuff that's coming up and these pushes, just to know that for the brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there, you got to keep tracking with Christ, because this stuff is going to escalate around us. It's going to increase around us. The push is going to be there, and there's going to be a really hard sales job that they're going to try to do on everybody to get people to accept that this is the way of the future, and this is normal, and this is okay, and they're going to try to ostracize anybody that would push against it. But the problem is that anybody that goes that way, what they're doing is they're losing who they are. Here's the thing. We were not ever meant to come into this life to stay in this life. This life is a transition. It's a passing point. We go from this is a birthing experience into eternity. So for people to want to stay here and to want to stay in this paradigm and to lock themselves into this, it's like locking yourself into the womb and never being actually born. And then being locked in there, and then trying to make and create some sort of reality, and continually to degrade to a lower and lower and lower state, even though they think that they're ascending, they're actually going further and further away. You know, the thing is, when people start messing around with the genome, and they start messing around with the body, and they start messing around with God's creation, the problem is that they have is every time they try to modify something, they make five other problems that they can't fix. So, you know, and you see that with food. Like when they tried to mess with the food genome and make these genetically modified foods that maybe last longer on the shelf or are brighter colors so they're more attractive to the eye, but in the end, there's no nutrition in there. Or in the end, the body can't assimilate it. Or in the end, it's making people sick or giving people cancer. But it looks like food. So they try to mess with something, but then they end up undoing, because it's a mystery that's beyond their thinking and their comprehension and their understanding. So when they start messing with something that's just stuff that's even more simple. When they start messing with the epitome, the apex of God's creation, which is man, which was, you know, God created man and ultimately the final thing he created was woman, you know, out of man. And that was the pinnacle of God's creative work in this paradigm that we live in right now. When they start messing around with that, they can't put it back in the box, the mess that they make. So the problem is there is that, you know, they're like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to do this, or we're going to give them a Versace body. I saw that on that one video you sent me. Or we're going to give them a designer body. They're talking about these are people that have the brains of a peanut, and they're thinking in this low dimensional space. And they're trying to go away from God's design, from what God has made, and they're trying to take people down this line of corruption. I mean, everything that God puts in place, like say for example, they call it the golden spiral, right? They call it which you'll see that in creation, in the ways that the stars are laid out. You'll see that in the way that the universe is, or seashell, or the way that your ear is laid out, or even if you just like curl your hand, you can see that, you know, in just the dimensions of how this, the Fibonacci sequence, right? I mean, these are just like things that are just like mathematics that go into even how the human body is formed. These guys have zero concept of things like that, zero concept of how those things work and come together. How, for example, the hand has to be strong enough to be able to pick things up, but delicate enough to play a musical instrument. You know, strong enough to be able to lift, but have enough sensation and touch to be able to feel and tell if your fingers are getting burned on a stove, or if something is too cold or too hot, or, you know, I mean, all these sensory, these things that tie into the subtleties of how we're made, they have zero concept of this kind of stuff, or how the body, the mind, and the soul are all interconnected together into forming the being that we are here for the window of time that we're here in the earth. So these transhumanist movement people are insane. And they've lost their minds in that process. They've been given over to a depraved mind. That's what the scriptures talk about. So as they have divorced themselves and gone away from the light, as they've gone away from that which is true, as they've rejected that which is truth, what they've given themselves over is to a lie. And in giving themselves over to a lie, they believe the lie, and so in doing so, they're damning themselves, and they're trying to take everybody else with them that they can, because the devil is not content for people just to go that way. They want to take as many with them as possible. And the goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The goal is to try to even set up the scenario where to have another destruction like they did in the days when the last time they messed this whole thing up. So the devil just says, hey, I know how this works. If we just want to get everybody to eliminate each other and make God have to eliminate his creation because there is nothing left here to be redeemed, this is the way they're going to push them. And so, you know, we're seeing that insanity, and this is also part of the reason why the people of God need to be alert, need to be vigilant, need to be in prayer, need to understand that the way that the enemy of our souls work and how he's trying to work, and realize that even if you feel tired or beleaguered or under-resourced or frustrated, just know that the angels of heaven are with us, and God has given us the power necessary to take the stand that he wants us to take in this time, and there is a reason that we're here.
Exactly. There is a reason why we're here, and especially at this moment on that we are in, and these days, and you touch on the very many different things, just about, you know, the body and how God made us. But people have to remember that God made us to his image. So we are already perfect. So, and obviously if God is a lot more smarter and intelligent, advanced than us, why do we try to remake ourselves, because we're going to make mistakes, and these mistakes are going to cost us so much that we can't come back from it. So we already have the perfect body. If you have the perfect body, why would you try to alter it again? Because you want to live longer, because you want to have another minute on your time on earth here, and that's it. And the thing that I think people don't realize is, like, look at what it's going to do. It's going to change who you are. It's going to change the core of who you are. And it's going to make you look as unhuman.
Yeah.
You've got to live longer, but then you got to look unhuman. So it's one of those things. It's like they want to, you know, people want to be God, but there's only one God. There's only one God.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be God. You can't. You know, there's so many situations in life people are going to go to. And to people that listen, you know, you can be in the worst situation of your life, but that's where you're supposed to be. That sucks that it is. That's how it is. Or some people are listening, and they're in a very good position, and everything is going well, and they're moving along pretty good, or, you know, with life. But that's where you're supposed to be at this moment. And things change all the time. But if you just follow after him, what he's calling you to be, just follow him. And, you know, sometimes it is hard, because we all fail at following him. But when you don't, and you realize that, change your ways. Just change your ways and go back to him. But the moment you start altering exactly who you are with some of the stuff they're doing out there, you know, it's like you will never come back out of it. And I'm not talking about people that take supplements to, you know, to get a bit bigger or thinner or whatever. No, but I'm talking about the mark of the beast, because they will bring it to you, and that's my belief. That's my own opinion. It's not from God or from anything, you know. It's like people are going to line up for it. They're going to want it, because the way they're going to sell it to you, they're going to sell it to you like the new BMW out there.
Oh, yeah.
2017 BMW. People go, wow. And they're going to be, you know what? It's just like the food shop. Come and take it. It's free. And, you know, you will never need to do any more diet. You're never going to lose hair. You're never going to wrinkle. You're never going to have a wrinkle anymore. You're always going to feel like you're 21 years old. Every day is going to be that. You're going to live for another, you know, however many years, you know. your muscle always going to be strong. You're never going to have arthritis. You know, so people are going to go, wow, I want to take it. And people will take it. And at first, those people are going to look good. They're going to look great.
Yep.
They're going to look amazing.
Yep.
They're going to look healthy. They're going to be able to walk for miles and run for miles and do all these things, right?
Pat, think about all the performance enhancing stuff, right? Think about, I mean, like how many people over the years have done, you know, like steroids just to try to get an edge in the Olympics or tried, you know, or used it in professional sports or people that will get cosmetic surgery, you know, to try to change their appearance or alter certain things, right? So people are already doing certain things to try to either get a physical or an appearance edge. So imagine when they roll something out like this and people don't have spiritual discernment and don't understand what it is that they're really being pushed towards. And people, and then the first people that start using it, how what they start getting out of it is all these benefits, these natural benefits that are going to give them edges, you know, whether it's mental or physical, you know, in this paradigm. And people will start to push that and just say, hey, you know, this guy, I mean, he ran a marathon in an hour. He ran a marathon in an hour. You know, I mean, he did something superhuman, and a bunch of other people are doing it too. Or, you know, or the mental abilities or all this other stuff, or just designer, or just, you know, to be beautiful. You know, to be physically beautiful in the physical body, and all of a sudden how attractive and appealing that is. And then people to start, you know, it's going to be incredibly enticing for people that don't see things through the realm of the spirit. You're right. You're absolutely right, Pat. People are going to be lining up. They're going to be lining up for this stuff. And a lot of the institutional, dead, man-made religious systems are going to be pushing it as well. They're going to be supporting that and saying, yeah, this is not really what the Bible says. This is something else. So you should be going with that. You should be embracing it to the destruction of people's own eternal souls. So this is the point where people need to understand and need to realize that it's important that you stay on track with God, that you hear His voice, and that you know what the game is. Because the game that the devil is playing is to try to take people's eternal souls.
Exactly. And you know what? They're gonna spiritualize it. They're gonna, it's like, look at a cell phone. This day and age, I mean, most of us, all of us, have a cell phone, right? But think about 5 years ago, or even 7 years ago, right? Some of the parents or some people didn't have a cell phone. They still have like a landline. Now, if you don't have a cell phone, it's like, you don't have a cell phone, it's like, whoa. It's like perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kids at a young age have cell phones. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things.
Well, and let's talk just for a second about that too. The other thing that we're also realizing too is that with cell phones, right, with that modern day convenience, well, for kids to use that early on is actually damaging their brains, because their brains aren't fully formed. And if they use a cell phone too much, it actually inhibits the functioning and the formation of their adult brains. We also know that, like, people are having trouble sleeping these days because of, you know, insomnia relating to cell phones and cell phone usage. That if you're using that late into the evening, if you're using that into the night, that light that's actually there with the cell phones are actually tricking the brain into thinking that it's daytime. And so you don't actually sleep that well if you're using the cell phone all the time. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are a result of, here's this technology that could be potentially a good thing, but what's happening with that is people don't realize just the side effects of something like that and how it's impacting and affecting people. Nobody told anybody where the off switch was with so much of this tech that's just being rolled out, and people are not learning how to balance that and how to have functional and healthy lives. Instead, people are just embracing that and running with that, and in the process of it too, they don't know when or where or how to even get off. that train. And so it's costing people. It's costing people in their lives. It's costing people in their relationships, costing people in their health. So this is all something where it's just to say, when I got a cell phone, when I got back to Sri Lanka. Not while I was in the States, even not while I was doing my master's or anything like that. I got one a lot later on. And, you know, part of that was just because, you know, it was more of a safety and a security thing over there, and just the ability to connect with people there, and worked a lot better than the landlines. And, but yeah, you're right. The trends and the development of this stuff. And now I think, Pat, one thing that we're going to see is we're going to see two parallel things come up at the same time. We're going to see on one side the enemy of the souls of humankind is going to push to create a technocracy, to create a system to enslave every man, woman, and child and use technology to try to do it. And we're also going to see, at the same time, we're going to see another pushback, which is going to be coming from those that are walking with the Spirit of God and are committed to freedom and committed to the things of God. And they are also going to raise up a standard and are going to raise up a way to function and to operate and to be able. We're going to see both of these things come up simultaneously. And the people of God, the important thing for them is to stay on track and to not bow to those pressures, to not go to those ways that are going to come up, that are going to try to push everybody into that thing. And so this may be the case where it's like, okay, you're the only one without a cell phone in the school. Well, fine, you're the only one without a cell phone. I remember when I was in college, and like everybody, you know, it's like, well, you don't got a cell phone. And the thing for me, I was like, there's a phone number at my house, you know, and I had an answering machine at the house. I had an answering machine at my work office, and there was email, and if anybody wrote me, I could get back to them, or left me a message, I could get back to them in 24 hours. I wasn't that important that anybody needed to get in touch with me right away. So it was fine. I was just like, this is how to reach me. And people figured it out, and it was fine. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. We got to be our own people at this time and realize that this push that's taking place, the push is to try to get people into a system and they're where they're giving up their souls ultimately and who they are for nothing. They're giving it up for nothing. They're downgrading themselves even though they think they're upgrading themselves. And all for what? For something physical, for scraps from the devil's table. You know, I mean, that's not the way that we're to live. We have to understand what's coming up and also understand what the devil is trying to do and trying to push. Because the devil is he's one of the reasons why the elite are pushing for, the elite of this world, I should say. I should clarify it. The world system. One of the reasons why they're pushing for that is because of what they're being promised in that. They're being promised, if they're part of that system, that they're going to get certain benefits, that they're going to not have to face judgment, that they're not going to have to face God, that they're not, and it's a lie. The devil's always been lying to them. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're part of that system and that side, I guarantee you, appointed unto every man is a time to die and then the judgment. You're not getting away from that. And the damage that you do in the interim time, you'll be accountable for that too. So you're not going to get away with that track. So it's not worth it. But if people...
But I really think people, even people that listen to that, that are on the other side, they have to believe that the devil is actually not lying to them.
Yeah.
Telling them the truth. But you know, every man will face God, will face judgment. Doesn't matter. At some point, you will face judgment. We're all gonna face it. And that's inevitable, right? So, you're right. If you listen to this, remember, he's lying to you. No matter how well he's putting it together, how great it looks, and the promise are kept over and over and over, but it is a lie because we're all going to face the judgment. We're all going to meet the mighty God, right? We all, you know, and we all fall short.
Mm-hmm.
I've fallen short multiple times. You know, but at the end of the day, you go back to him. You know, and yeah, you're right. If you're that person that is not part of the system and you know, and people are making fun of you or they try to push you away, fine, even better. Because you know what? You're not part of the system. And that's the beauty of it. You know, and even, you know, because it says in a, like, in the Bible, right? You know, better one day in this present than 1,000 years on earth.
Hmm.
Better that. You know, better one day with him than 1,000 years here. You know? So just, that's just to tell you that there's no value to that.
Hmm.
Although, a culture or a belief, they make, can make us believe that all these things are valuable, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. They're temporary. Look, every year there's a new cell phone that comes out. Every year there's a new TV comes out. Every year there's a new, for the couch. A new vehicle or
oh,
some new
hey, thing. Hey, Pat, can you imagine?
Style of house.
can you imagine the can you imagine the chip upgrades? Everybody that gets the first one and they get chipped and turned into that first cyborg, and then there's going to be cyborg 2.0 or cyborg 3.0. I mean, like they're and
exactly. Think about this. Think about the first iPhone, right? The first iPhone that came out, people were rushing to get it. Now. We want iPhone, what, 6 or whatever it is now, number, it doesn't matter. So obviously that phone is better than the one that first came out. People are going to rush for that first for the market of beef, and oh, there's something wrong with it, we're going to upgrade to this. And it was going to be a non-stopping thing. And if you don't upgrade, or if you don't get the new or the latest, well, these are the consequences you're
going
to be facing.
Pat, I met some guys recently it was kind of a, I was invited for a little bit for a, this is called a biohacking conference, right? And I met this guy who had he'd got a chip stuck under his right hand, which allowed him to open the door at the office and run the copy machine. I mean, that's the kind of things that guys are, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do these chips anyway, so I figured I might as well do the first one. That's what the guy told me. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, like, what, you know, I know how to run a copy machine, just push the button, and, you know, keys work just fine for opening up a door. I mean, that was the equivalent of it, man. There's your first iPhone right there. That's the kind of thinking that's there. So, yeah, I mean, like, this kind of stuff is just going to, it's an insanity.
For nothing. He sold out for nothing to open the door.
He sold out to open a door.
The building burns, then you're gonna get another chip to put in for the new building.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Yeah.
So now the thing is what the main point too, and this goes back to, you know, some of the consistent words we've already been putting out on Faith Mix, has been, you know, you got to keep your eyes on Christ and all that's going on right now, because things are going to be tossing to and fro, the waves are going to be churning, all kinds of things are going to be going on, and that can be going on around you, but we've got to keep our eyes on Christ, because he's the one that gives us our direction, he's the one that gives us our peace, he's the one that should be adding in and subtracting and putting things into our lives, directing our time and our steps here. That's what's necessary. That's the way that we're going to move forward in all that's going on right now around us. So that's kind of the thing we want to leave you guys with out there. We just, God bless you guys. We love you guys. Patrick, any closing words, man, for everybody?
You know, I just pray for everybody that they keep it on, that they keep their eyes on Christ, that even to them there is difficulty, that they keep their eyes on Christ, that they follow hard after him. And I also pray for everybody that, you know, is in need of whatever it is, from resources to food, to a new job, to need just some peace, you know, that God will bless them. That God will hear that, will hear their prayer, and they will get peace, and they will get understanding. They will, you know, in due time, I know it's on this time only. And I really just want to encourage everybody to, you know what, we, you know, to share these messages with their friends and families, and that they don't be ashamed. They don't be ashamed of what they believe and who they stand for, that they're not. That they will not be ashamed, because, you know, we're standing for you, but at some point, you're going to have to stand on your own with him, with Christ. So, you know, don't be ashamed, don't be afraid to share the message. It's free, and it's the good word. So, take it, use it, because it may not always be here, right? Available for people.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, let me close this out with a prayer too, brother. In Jesus' name, Father, I just come in agreement with the things my brother said, and we just pray for the people, Lord God. We pray that you bless them, that you'd strengthen them, that you'd protect them, that you watch over them, that you'd encourage them in their heart, in their spirit, Lord, that they would know your voice, Father, that they won't follow another, that they won't be persuaded by any of the flatteries or the oppression of the enemy or pushed in a different way, but that you just strengthen each and every one of them in their inner person, in their inner man, so that they can walk strong with you at this time. I pray that each and every one of them would fulfill the reason and the purpose that they're in the earth at such a time as this, and we bless them all. In Jesus' name, with every blessing that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray for each and every one of us, and we thank God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, love you. Love you guys. Hey, God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. All right, we'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.